Okay, cool. What are we doing this time?
Well, Gary, we are at an abandoned mall.
Oh, I love these.
Yeah. They're more and more of them because brick and mortar business is dying.
I'm going to get my nails did. Because those are weirdly in every abandoned mall. It's the cell at the middle of it.
Yeah.
The abandoned mall radiates.
No, I thought that you were going to do it in like a Cinderella kind of fashion where all the assorted vermin.
Sure. Yeah. I'm enchanted.
Yep, you just walk into a closet and you come out surrounded by raccoons.
Yeah, you know, raccoons like and possums and like unusually large moths.
Mm. Yeah. But how do you feel about the lamp memes?
The moth reformation is I'm mixed feelings on it.
Yeah.
You know, like it's kind of funny, like it's kind of cute, but it's just going too far. You know, it's just, you know, what's next? The dog and a human getting married? It's just too far. Like it's just, there's too many, not enough variation. Like it's being used as a punchline in and of itself.
Yeah. Most of the moth lamp memes I've seen are just different meme formats, but with a moth put in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best one I saw was they had a moth and he was dressed up in military fatigues. And it said, when you hear that there's a such thing as oil lamps.
Yeah, the American flag behind it.
Yeah. I was like, okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And I always love when we talk about memes because can you tell that we're recording this at 3:20 p.m. on September the 27th?
Yeah.
Guess what?
Date stamped.
Oh, well. But yeah, no, we're not here to get our nails done. What I've done is I've paid some neighborhood children. AKA the same raccoons, the nail business is kind of drying up, to just hide some games, throughout all these stores. We're going to huck a dart at one of these, at one of these, you are here boards. And we're going to go to that store and we're going to see what we get.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah. Don't hit us on the you are here board. I'm not a superstitious man, but I don't think it will go well.
Yeah, it's a little bit like, you know, saying what your last meal would be, you know?
Yeah. If you die on the you are here board, you die in real life. So, yeah.
It's a voodoo dot.
Yeah. Yeah, and not the the Rolling Stones album.
All right, here we go. Food, fun, and fashion. The mall has it all. And... All right. Okay. Orange Julius. So that is...
Oh.
Oh, God. Like a quarter of a mile away?
More like our president, the Orange Julius. Okay. Well, let's walk on over to the old Drump. Let's do it.
All right. Well, I got us motorbikes, so...
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Take it to the limit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woohoo.
Ball gang.
Doing sick jumps. And we're here, and it is the adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle and their shitty friends.
Oh yeah, the supporting cast of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah,
the saddest barely animated cast of like the '60s. Like woof,
fuck.
And Game Boy.
Fuck.
Game Boy was a Nintendo system. Game Boy, like, sounds like a very specific, and then Game Boy, fuck. like I'm gonna go down to that bar where all the Game Boys are.
I'm gonna go fuck those Game Boys.
Yeah, don't be a Game Boy online. Yeah. Like that's if it wasn't like Nintendo really took up some like, you know, semiotic real estate with that system. Because otherwise that would just it's only 1 degree removed from Fun Boy. You know, and I always think
with your good time buddies.
Yeah, fun boy. Which always sounds more sinister or sexual than it actually is.
Yeah.
And I always think, like, well, I'm a fun boy. You know? You know, our friends get together, it's a bunch of fun boys.
Yeah,
you know?
No. My mother's lock up your daughters. The fun boys are in town.
The fun boys are here and they got jokes. I am Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is Out of Suffering, the show where we play bad games. So you don't have to.
We are some very fun boys.
It's fun. Fun boy summer.
The summer of fun. Mm-hmm. Let me see here. I'm also a very unprepared boy because I did not actually pull up who requisitioned this episode of Epic Suffering about the adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle and their friends and the Game Boy and the Fun Boys and the portable system and the black and white and green and such. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of ands. Some of those are in parentheses. It's a real fucking nightmare is what it
is. Yeah, there's a lot of words on this cover. It looks like a color forms sheet, like that would have all the color forms on it.
Mm.
Like you peel these pictures off of this cover and put them on.
Yes.
And I'm looking at the Nintendo cover specifically. I don't know if it's different for the Game Boy.
You make your own, you know?
Yeah.
But this was purchased by Matt. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Saying, I hadn't thought about this game in probably 20 years until an episode of Retronauts made passing mention of just how hard it was. Boy, howdy.
Yeah, it's really difficult. It's also we've done it.
Yeah.
We just don't know it.
I was playing this. I was like, oh, this feels kind of familiar. Yeah. Tell the story.
It's the same game as Ren and Stimpy Space Cadet Adventures.
Yeah. So cast your mind backward 4 to 5 years ago and then just replay this with like an infinitely more boring subject matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really relieved to hear that you think the Rocky and Bullwinkle is boring because I think it's extremely boring.
I'm a monster, but I'm not an idiot.
I mean, this was the kind of thing, you know, they watch because, you know, cartoons, you can just watch any cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're home earlier than your parents are and the TV's there to keep you company.
And I recall, like, I feel like if any of this was going to stand up to now, it would be Fractured Fairy Tales, which I don't think is going to be like good or anything. But if that's on, it's like, you know, here's a little like sardonic, you know, a fairy who's telling a story, and like it just kind of like, instead of having the real end of it, it has some kind of, you know, 60s joke violent end or something like that.
Yeah,
I get into that, but like the actual characters of Rocky and Bullwinkle, who's they didn't have like a premise to them. They were the hosts of the show.
Yeah,
like I haven't seen an episode in a really long time. I remember them coming out and like hosting the show.
Mm-hmm. It was presented like a variety show slash a pulp radio serial kind of deal. Yeah.
But spies wanted to kill them for some reason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, like, you should be suspicious of foreigners was the ultimate takeaway.
Yeah,
they have an accent. What?
Yeah. Jason Alexander's going to come get me. But like just like them. So it was like I was like, oh, you know, I was sure like, oh, Rocky and Bullwinkle, they were soldiers or spies or something. And this is like a spy versus spy thing. No, they were the host of the TV show, mm-hmm. and spies wanted to kill them. Like, that's really weird, right? Like, oh, hey, we're here to host a variety show. And then it's like, I'll get that Moose and Squirrel. I'm from Russia. And it's like, why?
Oh, wow. We're in such danger. Well, why don't you watch this cartoon and we'll be right back.
Yeah. Why do they want to kill you?
Yeah.
It's just very strange. You know, like I don't get it.
I got to say, though, as a tactic for avoiding being killed by international espionage agents, being mm-hmm. constantly on television is a pretty good way.
Sure.
To make that happen, you're never alone. There are always witnesses.
Yeah,
I mean that is how I ensure that I am not kneecapped by my debtors.
Yeah. Oh, and why did I think Jason Alexander was in the Boris and Natasha movie? That is not true.
No, it's Danny DeVito.
Dave Thomas.
What?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, there's Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle in 2000, which is CGI.
Right.
And that who's stars in that one? Is that one Danny DeVito?
That
one's Jason Alexander.
Uh huh.
So I didn't remember it. How have there been this many fucking movies about this dumb shit? Okay, in the movie adaptation section of this on God, why are you being bad? Okay, there's Boris and Natasha in 1992, which mm-hmm. I was thinking it has Dave Thomas, you know, Canada's worst Dave Foley, Dudley Do Right with Brendan Fraser,
uh-huh.
and he's their idiot Mountie friend. The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle, which is the CGI one, and this is the one that has Jason Alexander. Mr. Peabody and Sherman, which 2014 CGI, and
they,
then Rocky
really?
And Bullwinkle. Yeah. So that came out, and then there's also Rocky and Bullwinkle, a short animated film made by DreamWorks. That's just like a short film with Tom Kenny as Bullwinkle.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. Tom Kenny is everything.
Yeah, he's a voice actor.
Yeah. Wow. I had no idea that they did Sherman and Peabody, because that was the standout for me. Like, that's the one that that I tuned in for, because I just loved how fucking condescending that goddamn dog scientist was.
It's a really weird premise for a show.
Yeah. it's a dog. What's the one thing that's dumber than a dog? A child. He just pals around with a child, takes him into dangerous historical situations where people would die of breathing the wrong air, and says, "You stupid idiot, you goddamn child, you imbecile."
What's the one thing dogs are? They like kids. Yeah. You know, they like people. They're very nice. Well, what if one didn't? Like, this cartoon presupposes, what if a dog was an asshole? You know? Like, it's very, very strange as a concept.
Yeah. It's one of those things, like, for the new Lion King movie, them casting John Oliver as Zazu, or whatever his name was, that's very inspired casting, as the parrot or toucan or whatever. But John Oliver would definitely have been a very good Peabody, I think.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's condescending.
Yes.
So.
Anyway. but yeah, definitely watched Rocky and Bullwinkle in like the strange early 90s. Well, it's too late for Nick Jr. You might move it over to PBS to watch like Eureka's Castle or whatever, but that's dumb. No, we're just going to watch these really, really old shows. And something ridiculous that happened with that, like even when in the afternoon they started doing like was like Nick in the Afternoon with Stick Stickley and basically pre-taped TRL for kids, almost
Nick tweens, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They would do a thing where they would like spin a wheel to, you know, pick whatever the next show was and be like, oh, it's going to be Rugrats or Pete and Pete. You always cross your fingers for Pete and Pete. But sometimes legitimately, and we landed on The Munsters. And then just in the middle of the afternoon in 1995, we're watching the fucking Munsters.
Yeah, pretty weird. Yeah. Like the effeminate Frankenstein adventures.
Yeah.
You know, of the Munsters. Like, yeah, really weird. Like this period of entertainment, where like people just kind of had to smile and be kind of big, you know, like you just kind of had to, like, it's a lot like Predator, be like scaring off a predator behavior. Like the director is for the Munsters is just like, pretend like you're being attacked by a bear. And when they move around, they just wave their arms a lot, you know? And then it's like, oh, that's, you know, that's comedy. That's a joke. So there's nothing talking about this game. It's just an ultra hard platformer where like nature is trying to kill you. It's one of those birds and animals are constantly trying to kill you. And you try to get through a city and you can't, and that's kind of the game.
So you're playing as Bullwinkle, the gigantic moose who does nothing but, you know, he's big, dumb, and he smiles. You're hoping like, okay, maybe I'll get to play as Rocky, the flying squirrel. It might be fun to play as the flying squirrel.
Sure.
I never got there.
It might happen. If so, it was going to be a side-scrolling shooting level.
Yeah.
You know, it was going to suck. It wasn't going to be like a cool glider mechanic or anything, you know? But yeah, it's not particularly fun. And they're such, you know, they're so bland as characters. Like, I just don't know, like squeaky and dumb, you know, it's not like Rocky is smart.
It's just a contrast play. Like a dog wants to be smart, so he stands next to a kid. The squirrel wants to be smart, so he stands next to the dumbest moose alive.
Yeah. Yeah, like what a just like a super, super idiot. And it's just like, it's before they realize, like, you to get comedy, you had to push those things a little bit farther.
Yeah.
You know, like we talked a lot about how, like, with It's Always Sunny, like it does 4-to-1 ratios, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like everyone's terrible, but Charlie is slightly less terrible. Like everyone's dumb, but Dennis is slightly less dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like that they do that, and it makes it a lot, like that's where the comedy comes from. Like it just elevates it a little bit. And that's part of just generally like how comedy has gotten bigger. And when I say bigger, different than the Munsters, like just appearing big, like not trying to scare off a bear big, but like comedy has just gotten a little bit like bigger, you know, as time has gone on. And that's one of the biggest differences just kind of between media.
Yeah.
You know, like you can just kind of go further with things. And that doesn't necessarily mean like, oh, you know,
you're pushing the envelope. Jokes. Yeah.
No, it just means like how absurd can this be? Mm-hmm. You know, how far can you push this? Like if you keep going, it gets funnier.
Yeah.
You know, so you keep going it. If you keep pushing it, and people just kind of realize, like, oh, like, you know, it doesn't mean there's not a place for subtle comedy, but even subtle comedy still usually comes from a place that's pretty far from reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's still pretty absurd.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's performed subtly.
Yeah.
You know, just the stakes are bigger. And that's kind of that has been on the timeline towards modernity.
Yeah.
That has, you know, generally been a trend.
I mean, like, you, when I think of subtlety in especially television comedy, I think of Seinfeld, you know, which leans on sarcasm more than anything. But even that still is that lives in the small gesture and the utterance and, you know, things like that.
Performances are small, but that show still contains the pig man.
Yes.
You know, it's still the outside, right?
It's just all like, Kramer dressed up as a turkey, you know?
Yeah. You know, Kramer turned his house into, you know, starts cooking in the shower. Like, it's still like, you know, it's still really outsized.
Yeah.
And even the fact that that's considered subtle compared to other things is like, and that's a show from, you know, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Like that still shows that trend.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah,
you know, and it just it's subtly has even changed. So this is like something like the Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. If they're supposed to be things I'm supposed to laugh at, they are either, you know, too subtle to exist or are just not jokes.
Absolutely. Like when I look at, you know, because I pulled up some old Rocky and Bullwinkle on just on YouTube to see, and like, yes, it is boring as shit. All that I can think of is like, oh, this maybe was like a couple of like college dropouts or whatever who like to smoke a lot of weed. There's something about this that feels like beatniky, like reefer, not weed, reefer.
Yeah.
Me. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Just the novelty of seeing moving images,
barely moving images.
Yeah. To see some really poorly animated. Cause this is Rocky and Bullwinkle is weird too, because it doesn't catch, you know, a few episodes ago, we talked about like animation snobbery, mm-hmm. and this doesn't catch that because these are terribly animated. Mm-hmm. You know, like some people might find the drawings themselves kind of charming. These like Wizard of It ass like drawings, but like nobody is women? Like, yeah, yeah, the peasants are revolting. But they're not going to, no one's going to go to bat for this animation.
No, most of the time it is a static frame of one of these characters, like in a splayed out, like action position with a psychedelic background, like moving behind them.
Yeah.
Is usually, usually what they did with this.
Yep.
Yeah, this game is... Go ahead.
Watching the intro of A Fractured Fairy Tales, and the joke was like a wizard flew in on a broom and then used the broom like to sweep something up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, pretty cool. Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah, there we go. Okay. Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah.
And the fairy tale is two really gross bald like guys boxing. So, mm-hmm. Okay. It's not fairy tale, my friend.
Did you ever see any of the Pink Panther cartoons?
I'm sure that were
done from around the same time. Again, boring as shit. Nothing happens.
Yeah.
It's just slow while an 11-minute version of that theme song plays.
Again, not to be activity cucks. Like we are not. You know, it's just like, oh, these people want things to happen. Like what's wrong with them? Like, you have to have content. Like, there has to be words in a story. Like that's not asking for very much. Like, asking for jokes in your comedy is like.
It can't just be a 6-frame walk cycle of this fucking
that happy cat,
yeah,
or the happy mouse or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just the walk cycle while that slow, boring jazz song plays, and like the background changes color. Like that's literally all those are.
They're all like student projects. Like they're all like teaching you to use the software. You know, if I made somebody like make a little, if I made a walking animation,
mm-hmm.
I'd feel pretty proud about it.
Yeah.
You know, but again, like it's not animated. Like it's not like they're good animation, so it doesn't even have that. Like there's nothing to recommend Rocky or Bullwinkle.
No. Nothing to recommend this game either. Like it's
terrible.
Garbage.
Yeah. So somebody the guy who writes the strategy guide like likes it because it's challenging. Like introduction. The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle is among the very few games I call impossible. However, I did beat the game, so we know it's beatable.
Good game.
You know, and just you know, surprise there's not a fact, so we decided to write one, which is like, okay, you know, that's
yeah, right.
that's good of you, I suppose, you know, and then it just tells you how to play.
Yeah
I
bookmarked that one because I like these character descriptions. So, you know, Rocky, Bullwinkle, Boris, Natasha, fine, but then you get down to just like enemies or something. So like coach, a football coach, miniature football player, a midget,
sure,
a fat football player, a fat person.
Yeah,
that's good job. All you need to know.
I don't like Captain Peter Peach Fuzz.
Ooh, that sounds like a character in a kid's book about puberty.
Yeah, well, at best case scenario, like it's like, just like ugh. Yeah, that's gross. Like Peach Fuzz is a gross.
Mm.
There's like that's like something like the like an album title for the Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
You know? Captain Peach Fuzz.
Captain, you know, ugh. You know, quit being quite so concerned with the markers of human puberty. Like, just put your yardstick away, gross monster.
I do quite enjoy when they're describing the enemies. The last one here is just as they have the name, score, and info. Name, hole, score, none, info. You fall, you die.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, loose bricks. Score. I want to get trading cards for all these enemies. These stats on the back. Name, loose bricks. Score, none. Info, same as water drop.
You fallen recently?
No, I haven't fallen for a while. Usually about like once a winter I fall.
Yeah.
So I did after game night on Tuesday, rolled my ankle. And I was and it stopped. It's fine. You know, it didn't even be having a sprain. Like it lasted, you know, 40 minutes, but it hurt quite a bit at first. And I was just like, if I just broke my fucking foot, like, holy shit. Like, it was like 2 weeks after getting out of bed, like now I'm going to have to like, you know, use a boot and a crutch because I broke my foot.
Jesus God. Like
but yeah, it didn't happen. Yeah. So
no, it's been a while since I've fallen too. The last time I fell, I think it was in college, uneven piece of sidewalk, fell and landed directly on my phone. It was like a chocolate 3, this like in 2009.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm overdue. I hope the next time I fall that like I'm carrying like a big drink holder full of a bunch of pop.
Oh yeah, I hope you fall on the protagonist of like a movie about a law clerk looking to rise in the ranks, you know. Yeah, and they're on their way to meet with Captain Law or whatever the high law people are.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
the high courts.
If I'm gonna fall, I think it's probably gonna be on some stairs, you know, because it's a fraught situation, right? Like you sometimes misgauge the steps. But I don't want to fall on just like regular ass stairs. I think I want to trip at the top of a baseball stadium.
Oh sure,
yeah, and then just like I think that I'm done, but I just keep falling because it's a very gentle grade. I just keep on like rolling more pop.
Yeah, or fall on one of those stairs that turn into a slide.
Ooh yeah.
Like if I literally had unlimited money and all the problems in the world were solved, I would have like a staircase at my house that did that.
Well, I'm sure,
you know, just because like it's just, you know, you don't see that in real life that often.
Yeah, well, I would get a fireman's pole, but I would get one of those ones that where you can grab onto it from the bottom and it'll raise you back up.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I don't think those 2000. I don't think those exist, but I would invent one.
It'd be easy to do. It'd just be like a platform.
A piston.
Move it, like the floor would just go. Yeah. Like a cherry picker that you have in your basement pushes you up.
Mm-hmm. Scissor lift.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sure. So yeah, it sounds like a wrestling move to me. that would be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you haven't fallen since then. Like you haven't fallen in the winter. You haven't like walked on ice and fell.
No, I've been pretty fortunate. Like I've had like close calls and like caught myself, but yeah, never. I'm scared of it now, you know, just because, you fall quite a bit when you're younger. But like, I think if I fell, what is it? I forget what comedian it is. Like, there's a certain point where like, oh, if you fall down, people laugh. But then when people start getting scared and like run up and check if you're okay,
you know you're old.
That might be like no a Louis a C.K. thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like it's just like, and there's just a good, you know, like even odds you'll break a bone. You know, right. Just, yeah, it might happen.
Yeah, this is going to change the course of your life in some way.
You hope not, but it just feels like
yeah.
Same. The one of the apartments I live in now, which are not you know, in a worse area of town, you know, and they're like, I like my apartment a lot, but it's not nice. It's not a nice area.
Right.
The kind of commons between all the houses is gravel,
right?
Which I'm actually extremely grateful for.
Oh, so you can spill.
I won't have to. Like gravel will never, like, you know, you get snow on it, but it just has good traction.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's not going to get iced over or anything like that in the same way that like a floor. Yeah, the same way like a, you know, flat area will.
Yeah, that's good. Like I've seen gravel ice over, but that's in like Ohio winters, not Portland winters. So it might not be a thing you need to worry about.
It just seems rarer. It seems like there'll be traction, you know, more. Like a lot of times Portland winters, since it's wishy-washy, like it thaws and then refreezes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We get a lot of those.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm concerned because my the house that I live in now, it's on a slab, and you can very much tell that under the laminate wood flooring that it is just concrete. So I'm used to living on carpet and, you know, hardwood where there's some bowing or whatever. No. Like on this, if I take a spill, I am just falling on concrete. If I drop my phone, it's going to shatter into 1,000 pieces.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's no good. Mm. And standing on that for a long time is very fatiguing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I got mats. I'm standing on a mat right now.
Ah, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Really, like a Target clerk.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I don't get varicose veins.
Yeah. yep. You don't get a cast of podcaster knee. A case of podcaster knee.
Oh man.
Yeah. What else? What else is in the news? What's going on?
Just rattle this newspaper here.
What else is happening?
So that was not an approximation. I thought maybe I could get a newspaper sound by shaking this box of tissues. That's half empty. No, not at all.
No. I could probably make it happen, but I feel like the moment has passed.
Let's see here. What's the?
Oh geez. That's a big newspaper sound.
No, so I went to. This is more of just like a, I mean, it's barely a billing, well, here's your sign kind of thing. Drove a town over to the music store to get some hangers for my guitars. Okay.
Okay.
I've got an acoustic, I've got two electrics, and I've got a bass. Four guitars, right?
Mm-hmm.
I grab four of these hangers, want to support local businesses, walk up, and I say, I'll take these. And then the clerk looks at me and says, how many guitars do you have?
That's pretty weird.
I know, right? Yeah. Like, I hand him four guitar hangers. Like, this could just be like, yes, I need to complete my collection of guitars on a wall. But no, he straight up just asked, how many guitars do you have?
That's pretty funny.
And I said, I've got two electrics, an acoustic, and a bass. But I need to
He might think you just got a new one. Got, like, four new ones.
Yeah.
That's pretty weird, too, though, I guess. Like,
yeah.
You know? Like, I buy them in lots. I get them from Sam's Club or whatever.
Right, you know? Right. I just break one out of the pack and then sell the rest as a lot on eBay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. One of the reasons why it's hard to come up with what's going on in the news is we recorded yesterday.
Yes.
We don't usually do that. So, like, not a whole lot of, like, life happened that is, you know, talkable.
No.
You know, between now and then.
Like, the saga, like, the, you know, the saga over the past two episodes was I needed to get to my niece's volleyball game.
Oh, yeah. How did that turn out? I've been waiting for closure.
It was a middle school volleyball game.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Did everybody win by having a good time?
It seemed like they had a good time. It was one of those things where my niece's team is really good, but they fell behind in the second period, and you could tell that they were not used to being behind. They were kind of like unraveling emotionally a little bit.
Yeah,
when somebody would mess up. Yeah, but they ultimately came out ahead. But it was interesting to see that.
Mm-hmm.
To see that dynamic.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And just like adding a little drama to something that, you know, again, like, you know, pretty bland.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of thing is probably, you know, just all addition.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep.
No,
looking forward to, or go ahead.
No, I said I could talk about how emotionally gratifying it was to go to my niece's, to go there and support and root for my niece, but I don't think that that's like good comedy material.
Well, and I feel like we've already talked about that at least once.
Yeah, yeah.
That's come up and stuff. We don't turn this into a niece cast. You know? Everyone's sick. I keep getting, I've been deleting them when they show up in the Patreon box, but everyone's fucking sick of hearing about this niece, dude.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to see it because I know it'll hurt feelings, and I'm sure that she's a fine, upstanding person, but like,
she's okay.
People are dropping pledges, dude. I'm going to drop 2 cents for every time you say niece. And I'm already down to give you 24 cents. Here's my 6-paragraph reason why I'm leaving the Patreon. I'm looking forward to, this is more of a preview thing, but my friend who's visiting, who's coming in about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, to going to that that strip club I was talking about.
Oh shit, yeah. No, and, this is, talk about, yeah, ongoing sagas.
Yeah, that's I've been foreshadowing that for a while, and we might just like walk in and be like, this is dumb, you know, and just leave. But I just want to see the inside of it. Like, you know,
you can
just
make that happen. I'm positive that people go to strip clubs alone all the time.
Oh, sure. But I just don't, I don't want to be alone when I walk in, like the bouncer checks my ID and then I like use the bathroom and leave, you know, like, just like, I want to make sure that everybody, you know, that it feels kind of like plausible, I guess. And I have support in case I leave, like somebody to back me up, or I'm just going to go, You know, so if like the gigantic like bouncer guy gives me a look, I don't feel weird about it.
Well, no. So here's the thing, like, well, the way you play that, you know, you both walk in, it's gross or boring or whatever. And then, you know, you just, you walk up, maybe you get like a Red Bull or something. Strip clubs always sell Red Bulls.
It's true.
Yeah. And then like, you just, you know, give it like a five count and then you say, oh shit. And then you just like walk very quickly out of the place. And then your friend, mm-hmm. your wingman who's there, he can like, he follows behind you and says like, oh yeah, no, his apartment flooded.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That way it's not you making the excuse. It's not you saying like, because if you walked out of a strip club, feeling the need to make an excuse, it would call attention to itself. If it's somebody else like explaining this, you know, explaining this relatable thing, then all of a sudden you have cover.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not extending yourself. You're not making yourself vulnerable.
Even though I'm definitely like overthinking it before, I was talking to Derek recently about how often I use getting a phone call to get out of things. Like I fake phone calls a lot.
Yeah.
And like, and he's just, yeah, I always feel bad about that. And I just don't. And I realize like, I actually do that a lot. Like if anything that's mildly embarrassing like that, like if I sit down at a restaurant and then decide, like look at the menu and decide I don't want anything. Uh-huh. Like I haven't paid anything. I've never dined and dashed, but I'm just like, actually, you know, this is a bad idea. Or like, I just decide to eat somewhere quicker cause I have to be somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I just pretend to get a phone call and walk out. Yeah. And I do it a lot.
Yeah.
If you put your phone up to your ear and kind of look concerned and walk,
uh-huh.
like you can go anywhere.
Yeah.
You can do anything. It's like a clipboard, but more like less business, like a little more social clipboard.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is especially an important step in the arms race, because it used to be you would be above reproach if you just had your earphones in. Earphones don't count for shit anymore. That armor does not. I mean, like, so earphones are like chainmail. And then you're walking out and then somebody walks out with a gun and you're like, well, shit, I guess I better put this up to my, you know, having the phone to your ear is like Kevlar, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's great. Like that's a great way to get out of like really boring or just kind of like stuff like the, you know, birth of your first son, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You might get a call from your second son.
Yeah. You might get a call about that reserved copy of Infamous Second Son that you have on hold down at the GameStop.
Yeah. Like I have to go get that game because it's not prototype.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the other one.
Yeah.
Yep. Pocket the cat. This is an update episode.
Okay.
He's Rocky and Bullwinkle as an just update our ongoing plots. You know, do foreshadowing and stuff. His new thing that sucks is sleeping in dangerous places.
Quantify what is dangerous in a one bedroom apartment.
A Falooza.
What is dangerous in a one bedroom apartment, not where would a one bedroom apartment be dangerous.
Okay. I told you it was not a good neighborhood. I have a dresser.
Okay.
It's five drawers.
A chest of drawers.
Yeah. A chest of drawers. And the bottom one is pulled out and he likes getting under the dresser in the spot where that drawer should be.
Oh shit.
So like I push in and then he also likes sleeping under and to some degree inside that I don't know the whole degree of inside or under my recliner. So like, since I'm going to have guests soon, I need to like put up signs or just like, hey, don't recline this chair unless you can see my cat. I assume it's just going to be like it's gears and springs and stuff that are just going to mulch him.
Wow. Those gears hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the recliner, put up a sign that says, if the cat's not in sight, you must sit upright.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. Or get that like cross stitch. Like if you tinkle, twinkle when you tinkle, if you sprinkle when you tinkle, be a sweetie, wipe the CD. You know, one of those things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been thinking about that. And the chair is vinyl. Like it's like this like retro blue vinyl chair.
Yeah.
And part of me was like, you know, I don't care about aesthetics. What if I wrote that in magic marker on there? I'm not going to do that.
Oh, yeah. 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 It's like giving your chair a tattoo. So what you need to do, get a t-shirt that says that and put it on that chair. And if you're happy with it after 6 months, then you write it on there with magic marker.
Yeah, or I decide to scrap that and I just put like a heart with an arrow through it that says Gary on my chair. With like a carnival art portrait of me under it. You know?
It's just you riding a dune buggy.
Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, this chair seems to like me.
Oh man, I understand that about cats. Like they always say, like, always, you know, like, check your dryer before you before you use it. You know,
that's terrifying.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh well, is he still a demon? Because the last few times that I talked to you, Pocket was very much a demon.
Like yesterday, he was really at war with me. Like yesterday, he woke me up like too early, you know, to be tolerable and stuff, and was just kind of running around yelling all day. And the day he's been very sweet.
Okay.
Like today he let me sleep, which is nice. Like the thing I used to be able to do with Roars was I kind of snooze him. Like he'd wake me up to feed him.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I ignored him long enough, he would just go to sleep for a little while. And then it was like a contract where, like, if I woke up then the next time I really had to feed him right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no arguing. Like he'll wait, but it means immediate service in 2 hours.
Right. Right.
And, I had that with Pocket today.
Okay.
For the first time. So I'm hoping I can do that. And he, Pocket snuggles. Like he sleeps with me. He's like a snuggler.
Mm-hmm.
I call it logging on. He sleeps in the crook of my armpit.
No.
And he uploads micro purrs and he's got a 50 up. He's got 50 up, 100 down, and I download macro snugs, and they're bigger and they cost more, but I'm a loss leader.
Okay.
So he just kind of did that and laid me, which is great. So today he's been really sweet, and he just started doing biscuits, which is weird because it seems like that's when kittens do that, they're kneading milk out of their mom's tits.
Yeah, yeah.
And I assume that he would do that when he was younger, but now he does biscuits.
Is it? So do you think it's a matter of him trusting you more now, and that's why he's doing that? Like.
I assumed he just trusted, like, I assumed he trusted me a lot just because he sleeps with me and he always, like, he has to be in the same room as me. And stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's going to be the challenge with him once he gets older is that I have not done a good job of, like, fostering any independence.
Mm.
So it's going to be like the first time I take like a day trip or leave for a little while, he's going to have a rough time.
Oh yeah.
Like it's, you know, it's not going to be good. Like I did the, you know, he's affectionate. He's not going to be one of those cats that doesn't care if I live or die,
mm-hmm.
but he's also not going to be a cat that has like an independent life, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So, which is okay. I don't feel that bad about that.
Yeah.
That's a trait I'm happy to make.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Good boy.
Good boy. Big boy.
Big boy. Yeah, he's long. Exceedingly long. So.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Cool. What's your time scale? You got to get that pet.
Yeah, no, my house is not together as of right now. So I'm going to aim for between PRG and Thanksgiving to do that.
Oh, that's a great time. You should definitely get it for Duck Stream because then, you know, it will show up.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels good.
Yeah, yeah. So that'll be a thing. I thought about it and was like, man, I'm going to use this month to get the place and like the condition and the arrangement that I want. But also I would hate to get something new, be it a cat or a bird or whatever, and then just like leave it for 5 days.
Yeah,
you know, of course. like in a really precarious kind of time. So that's where I stand right now.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, you should do some window shopping because
mm-hmm.
it's fun to do so.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I've got the next few times that I've got a whole bunch of stuff that I have like set up for day trips, like nature trails and things like that. But the various humane, I'm like right at the, I'm in the Tri-County area. I've got a handful of ASPCA.
The county.
Yes. The county. Yes. no, I've got a handful of humane societies and stuff nearby. So
mm-hmm.
yeah.
The one thing too, is if you decide to become a bird person,
mm-hmm.
like, they have those at the Humane Society as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like the miscellaneous animal room was real fun when I went.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of surprised, like, you know, because rescues are a moral action. I feel like that's the good way to be.
I think so too. Yeah. And they're used to, they're not like the fear with birds. Like I would want to start with like a budgie or something like that. Like something real low, real low maintenance, like, you know, but the thing that you read about with budgies or parakeets or whatever is that like, if you buy them from a store, they've only ever really been with other budgies in the store environment. So they don't necessarily know what it's like to live in a home, whereas with rescues or with breeders who, you know, who hand raise them and stuff like that, they've gotten them used to being around humans. So they like integrate better into a household. That's my understanding.
But yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And budgies are cute.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll do some cute stuff.
Yeah. If you get one that talks, it sounds like a little Game Boy, like little Game Boy speech samples.
It sounds like one of those little Game Boys. Game Boy fucks. log it onto the Tor web and
what's that on the horizon? A gigantic billowing cloud of dust. Oh no, the Game Boys are coming into town.
like slapping billy clubs to the rhythm, you know.
What's the baseline like for that? Like, you're alone, lifting me higher.
Like, it's like an upbeat version of like the Pink Floyd "The Wall" with like the marching hammers. You know?
Okay. All right.
Like, what if Pink Floyd were a fun band instead of like a fucking slog? You know, like just like this is our concept album about British people and the school system and Thatcher. It's very similar to the Bicycle Safety Camp music, but slightly different.
Well, you're chopping and screwing it, you're twisting and turning.
Yeah. It's also the thing I was thinking about with music, and this is a real miscellaneous episode.
No, it's fine. Whatever.
But like, music is such a, when people talk about so somebody in the Slack channel, they weren't being accusatory or anything, but they linked a tweet which was saying how like somebody was talking about the X-Men animated theme song was good.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody was like, does this person even know this is just a ripoff of this Whitney Houston song?
Okay.
And I knew that Whitney Houston song, I listened to it a little while, but I listened to it last night, and like, that's such a non-starter of an argument.
Yeah. You know
the
thing?
Because like music, right? So like in the Western scale, there's 12 notes.
Mm-hmm.
And there is like a pentatonic circle, like there's a pentatonic circle, like there's from any like note,
there's boxes and modes, like everything has been categorized, and you know they're frameworks. Everybody, most songwriting works within a framework, right?
And there's just so few like places, mm-hmm. like you know, if you're on one of those 12 notes, is a very small option. Mm-hmm. There's only so many notes that sounds good
mm-hmm.
to go to from there. You know, like you don't have, then you don't have 11 possibilities. You know, you have far fewer than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like it has the theme song, and there's like two phrases that end with the same interval,
mm-hmm.
you know, going down. It's not the same key. It's the same interval and stuff. And it sounds like kind of similar, but it was just like, got frustrated by that as like a reductive thing where I'm just like, well, I think kind of like, it's not like the Ice Ice Baby thing.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like literally the same.
Literally the same. And also you're being like shitty and defensive about it, where it's like, it's not dun, 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 dun. It's dun, 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 dun. Like, you know, like literally like just getting out there and spewing some bullshit.
Like that is much closer, but being just like, oh, this sounds kind of similar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something like, it comes up sometimes with, when they're like, oh, this music ripped off this thing. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, I believe like the Doom soundtrack, those are essentially MIDI covers of those metal songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, those are close enough. But a lot of times when people say that, it's like, you know, as somebody who like writes music, it's very easy to accidentally write somebody else's thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it happens all the time, and it's frustrating, you know, but it doesn't really matter that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
and also like there are differences in arrangement, or there are differences in like the voice of the synthesizer that's used and things like that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Or just like the posture of the song.
Yeah.
You know, like I had a thing like for a long time, and I don't know if I remember it now, but like I was very excited because I wrote a song and it turned out to be Clocks. Like Coldplay, which is it's something like that.
Hey, dude, you wrote Clocks.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit, Clocks. And I was doing it in chords like at the time. This was my old band, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not exactly it. It might be that, like, uh-huh. but it's something very similar to that. And then I realized, like, fuck, man, that's Clocks. Like, I can't do that. But if it hadn't been Clocks, I think I would have just gone for it. Like, that's too embarrassing.
Right, right. But, like, you might be able to take it back.
That's true. And eventually, the copyright will run out on Clocks. Like, you know, it'll become public domain.
Yeah.
The extended Clocksiverse will be in all of our hands. But like, in my current band, I wrote a song and it sounds a lot like. It's the same chord, like essentially the same chords
mm-hmm.
as like the only ones, Another Girl, Another Planet. You know that song?
No.
Like an 80s like psych rock song.
I'm positive if I heard it, I would know the chorus or the verse chords. Yeah,
it's super good. And like I realized, like me and Andrew, the guy who plays guitar in my band, like we realized, like, oh, that's what it is. And I'm like, yeah, but it doesn't sound anything like it. And he's like, mm-hmm. yeah, fuck it, you know. And it just doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, this phenomenon for me was underlined. There was a joke in Malcolm in the Middle where Malcolm was so insecure that his little brother could play music and he couldn't. Because like, I'm supposed to be the genius. I'm this precocious guy. So he gets an electric guitar, spends weeks out in the garage, comes in and says, okay, I'm ready to do this. He plays it and it's the Meow Mix jingle.
It's one of the I know how to play on ukulele. Yeah. I don't have my ukulele within range, but like, yeah, I had a similar experience to that too. Like, I didn't do it on purpose, but that's a very funny like comedy song to be, you know, to be an easy thing to have.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and that's a phenomenon that's really common in video game music too, right? Like just like an Earthbound like sampling kind of thing. Like, oh, that's just straight up Rick Ocasek. Fuck you.
Yeah.
But more like you know, think about the comparison between that one Kingsfield song and Knives Out by Radiohead.
Yeah.
Like, those are both really good songs.
Those are really good songs, and they are similar. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a really similar thing, but the tone and production are different enough.
Yeah.
And like, just even just the context too. Like, video games, when you add that it's, mm-hmm. you know, happening in a game.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to be upset about it. Yeah. You know, so this sounds like an extended call out rant against that person.
No, not.
It's just a thing where like music is not, and there's a really good, we were talking about YouTube last time we recorded. Mm-hmm. If you want a new YouTube like thing to watch and stuff, I'm really into this channel called 12 Tone.
Okay.
Have you watched any 12 Tone?
Describe it. I may have seen one and then like moved on and not subscribed or whatever. What is it?
They're like 7 minute long, really good kind of music theory and song analysis videos.
Okay.
The guy's very pleasant. He draws on a music staff, like little illustrations of what he's doing.
Is it like on a piece of glass over his keyboard with a camera like pointed down at it?
No.
Okay.
No. It's over like a notation paper.
Okay.
It's just really good. Like, he does these things where he talks about, like, he does these analyses of actual songs, which are really interesting, mm-hmm. you know, like, and they do, you know, just, this would normally do this, but instead it does this, and this creates tension and just kind mm-hmm. of like,
yeah.
what goes on. Those are excellent.
I've seen stuff that's similar to this, primarily from the other side of like, cause I got a MIDI controller recently for just general enjoyment and also for a project where I wanted to learn how to play a little bit keyboard, and looking up like tutorial videos and like saying like, okay, like here are just some moves that you can do like to get in between chords. And then like, they would play examples from other songs. Like, that is a great mm-hmm. way to hammer that home.
It's a lot like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not quite as educational in terms of how to repeat this. It's more how to understand this.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's like mm-hmm. one of my favorite, you know, it's become a day one watch thing. Nice. And it's and they do a lot of things where it's like, here are, you know, this is this very common progression that's known as like the pop progression because every song uses it. It's a little bit like the four chord song.
Pocketballs can kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like these are the ratios. This is the numerology behind this, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. and here's why it works.
Yeah. Like here's why you hear this key change an awful lot. It's because these two keys or these two different modes like share like 90% of the same chords. So like they mm-hmm. can switch into this for a different for a different feel for a moment,
and yeah.
not like totally break the song. Yeah.
Yep.
I love music.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. It's probably somebody I've been dating again, and somebody asked me like what I'm passionate about, and like I do a lot of things, mm-hmm. right? So like, you know, I kind of a shitty polymath, and like, music is probably the number one thing that coincides with like the maximum amount of interest and like passion mm-hmm. that I have. Like, it's not the thing I think I'm best at that I do, but it is the thing that I think is like the coolest and most interesting mm-hmm. of things that I like to do.
Yeah.
So yeah. Music's good. Music in this game, has a literal, there's a 3.5 second loop.
Good God.
That happens in this game. Like, I counted it out. Fuck. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah, no, that's
sucks. Too short for a loop. That's your brother. You may not have some loops. Yeah. like you cannot have lamp. You cannot have loops. Neither of which are for you. Yeah, denied.
But yeah, thank you so much, Matt, for patronizing us. I hope you're fine with us making this just a real grab bag.
A clearing house.
Yep. Yeah. This was also, man, a lot of people put this into the little machine.
Well, it's garbage. Like, and it's also like a thing where it's that period. I mean, we can definitely wrap up, but this is the same kind of Game Boy. It was like during a period of Game Boy where, you know, it's like all Fall of the Foot Clan and Bart and Lisa at camp.
Yeah. Yeah.
And stuff like just everybody doing, you know, this was the time where good Game Boy games were very hard to find. and everybody was just kind of trapped by the shit.
Yeah.
You know, bad platformers.
For sure. Like the any time between like 1991 and 1996, I think, for the Game Boy.
Yeah.
It was just a real bad half decade for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was also put into the machine by Andrew, Bo, and Eric. Eric says, play this one with headphones on full blast. Trust me, I'm a doctor.
Yeah, I definitely listened to it. It's a roughie. If you like the show, the best way to support the entire network as well as the show is to go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Mm-hmm.
There you can see everything we have on offer, join the Slack, join kind of the conversation, get a lot of cool stuff in return. And and support your boys.
Yeah. If you have a moment and you are willing to navigate the hurdles to do so, please consider going on to Apple Podcasts and leaving us a rating or review. That mm-hmm. does help. I can't say how or why. It is a mystery to everybody. However, we have noticed there is a correlation. So take the time. And, you know, we like reading about us, I guess.
Yeah. It's also just nice.
Yes.
It's a nice thing to do. That doesn't cost you nothing.
Until
next time, who is Moose and Squirrel Dog?
Who is Time Dog?
Who's Time Dog?
Yeah, you know,
Time Dog
what's his name?
Sherman.
Yeah, Sherman and Dr. Peabody. Yeah,
Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah,
but worse. What if he was dumber and less funny, Pinky in the Brain?
What if he was dumb in like not a smart way?
Yeah.
Like Pinky is dumb in the way that like only a smart person could write.
Yeah. Like actual dumb people, you end up with like the psychopath kid from Breaking Bad.